Hello and welcome to episode one of Cain, Baines and Automobiles, your Euro 2016 unofficial podcast. You may have seen us on Facebook and Twitter with the heard the one about the Welshman and four Englishmen driving around France in a motorhome. No, then give us a listen. Well, unfortunately, you're still not listening to that, as there's only three Englishmen, one Welshman, and no motorhome, and we're not in France. We're in my front room in London. Mike's still not back with us yet. He is in Spain. He'll be with us after the second episode, which we're hoping to do after France versus Romania. But with me are Ad.
Hello.
Stan.
Living the dream here.
And Dave.
Hello.
So, yeah, we've known each other for 20 plus years. Long time. Too long.
Maybe. Far too long.
27 years now.
Yeah, well, me and Dave first met in primary school at the age of 7.
Was there a reason you... the primary there?
Pronunciation.
RP.
We've got to be very professional.
Someone's planning for the shipping forecast on Radio 4. Is Radio 4 shipping forecast?
I don't know. Anyway, what are we all about, Chris?
We've been told and someone's not heard of Edit, have they? So, yeah, me and myself and Stan decided about a year ago, after watching the terribly tedious 0-0 with the Republic of Ireland, that maybe going to the Euros would be a good idea. Probably not really taking it seriously, and Stan had too many hooches and was sat in the back garden.
There are other alcoholic drinks available that I can consume.
So if you want to send them in, courtesy of Sepp Blatter. Oh, no, it's not Sepp Blatter anymore, is it? Or Platini. Yeah. Who's head of UEFA now?
It's that gentleman that was the...
It's not Tokyo Sexwear, is it?
It's not Sexwear.
Sexwear was never UEFA, was it?
Well, in that case, I don't care.
Oh. Sounds like Gambaccini or something, doesn't it?
Paul Gambaccini.
But it's not Gambaccini.
So yeah, we're basically, we're planning to bring a series of podcasts to you looking at everything sort of Euro 2016. Some of our views will be strong. Others will be indifferent, and you'll probably disagree with about 90%. As you say, Mike's one of our long-term friends. He's in Spain at the moment. He is going to be speaking to some confused Spanish people. I assume they'll be confused because I've heard him speak Spanish, trying to get some of their views on the Spanish squad and their hopes for the Euros.
Is this interview going to be in Spanish? Because that's going to be dreadful listening. If it's broken Spanish and the actual Spanish. That's 5 minutes apart.
Yeah, but it's probably still better than listening to that. Dad, you can't
shrug
your shoulders. Dad, you're the only one of us who professionally got paid to do radio, and you're shrugging your shoulders on radio.
It was a long time ago.
Well, obviously.
As you can see.
And it needs to be verbal nods.
We've also explained that in our minivan, there's a, as it says on the description, four Englishmen.
Yep.
And one Welshman.
Yep. You're the Welshman.
I'm the Welshman.
You probably guessed from his accent, Dave is from... He was born in a coal mine. His parents are those budgies in cages.
How green was my valley? I'm the one using the...
You bought that DVD with you.
I have a DVD. Saying this, that's now going to come with us to France. And I'm going to watch it every night.
Up to you to decide how green your valley is about.
Always hard. My accent's no less Welsh than the accents in that film. There's some terrible accents.
Dave, stop digging.
We're not going to review Welsh films like Twin Tower. We're actually going to be talking about football. That's the important thing. So if you're tuned in to hear about our times at school or Dave's Welshness...
Or how green Dave's valley is.
We'll come up with the greenness of his valley. There will be an alternative podcast that we will never record.
It'll be available soon. We'll leave that one just to Dave. So yeah, we're recording this in the morning of the FA Cup final, Palace versus Man United, which we're fortunately going to be off to very shortly. Good few English players playing in that one. Obviously Rooney, maybe in this new defensive passing Pirlo midfield role, apparently. I've not seen him play it yet, but...
Played midweek, I believe. Got assists. Did he score as well?
Yes, he did. Yeah, Bournemouth game, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But got a man of the match display.
I can see Dave leading towards...
You can probably hear his papers rustling.
Dave managed to win our Fantasy Football Cup on the last kick of the game with Chris Smalling balling one in.
Obviously, terribly executed security tests at Old Trafford, as you know, will have delayed the game. Two of our friends in the final day was one of them. Other guy, he just needed 1 point. He managed to get Chris Smalling in just 1 point to draw, 2 points to win. And he was like, that's fine, as long as Chris Smalling doesn't do anything stupid, I've won it. And until the 94th minute, he had won it.
Smalling!
It's our Aguero moment.
Also, we'll be seeing Wales' number one goalkeeper, Wayne Hennessy. Probably not seeing the bearded wonder that is Joe Ledley.
No.
Probably won't be seeing with the Euros. Because, but
I think he'll go, won't he?
He'd probably go. He won't play because he definitely won't be fit.
He's only needs, but I think he probably, you know, if you can get him fit for the last game. Anyway, we'll probably come on to the games in a bit.
Well, and also, the player that's likely to be there is one of the big surprises of the England squad, which is Marcus Rashford. I mean, he's probably going to start today.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think, you know, whether we're going to look at the squad. So, obviously, the squads have been announced sort of in dribs and drabs over the last couple of weeks in various formats. We're probably not going to look at too many in great detail other than England, Wales, Northern Ireland.
And Albania.
Ad's going to be doing a special. I'll take that off, Dave. All right, there we go. There's some atmospheric noise for you. Makes you feel like you're really here. So, obviously the squad's been announced. So we're going to look at England and Wales. And we're going to have a little bit of a look at Northern Ireland with Mr. Ian Dowie, unbelievably. He's going to cast a very brief eye over his hopes for...
He's in the back garden now, just warming up a thing.
You think so, yeah. It'll sound like he's possibly in a very busy stadium, but it'll just have to be a crowd of people walking past as he's talking to us. So what we decided to do was each have a sort of a prediction of who we thought was going to make the squads,
but also as well, who we pick ourselves.
Who we'd pick ourselves. So we've got our choice and then Roy's choice. And kind of the best way, rather than just looking at 23 names
and
each.
And also Chris Coleman's choice.
Oh,
well, that'll be you to pick yourself, because if you're not crap and Welsh, you're probably going.
You're right.
Well, in the case of Simon Church,
you're crap and Welsh. You're not going.
I'm crap.
That worse than Simon Church?
Oh, I'm probably on a par with Simon Church, but he's got more years of professionalism than I have.
What's your turning circle like compared to his?
I think we're both oil tanker beep, standard.
Beep, beep.
Probably
on more football courses than they Dave, so.
Dave famous for being on 52 football courses.
But that's an arbitrary figure that someone's made up. It's probably.
I think we got it from Opta, actually.
It's probably closer to 59.
I think we got that stat from Opta, didn't we?
Yes. Anyway,
brushing over Dave's very brief footballing career, we won't mention the books you used as shin pads once.
I've already worked out my role in this podcast is to stop you mocking me with an anyway. Far more important.
And I've worked out I can edit out the anyways. So all of this will just sound like
episode one. Dave has already did about to catchphrase.
So obviously, we've each come up with the squads, done our prediction for our own and for Roy's. Instead of going, okay, this is my number one, number two, number three, kind of broken it down into some questions, and then we can kind of dip in and out of the squads and stuff. So first question, I suppose, let's start with Stan. Glad they made it. Who are you glad that's made it into the England squad?
The big one for me, I mean, if you look at the start of the season, you would have expected it is Dele Alli. He's come from literally nowhere to be England's most exciting player. I mean, I'm so glad he's there. He's just something new. He's got fear, no fear, whenever he plays. Also, it's nice to have his bromance brother there, Eric Dyer. I think if you follow them on Twitter, there's a bit of bromance between them. But it's nice to see young English players not going back to the old days of Srem and Fabio Capello, where they just seem to pick the same old duffers.
Well, yeah, there's no one in the... we've got the squads here, and there's...
There's no Emil Heskies this time,
aren't there? Well, there isn't. There's no Emil Heskies still. There's no one in the England squad over the age of 30, which is... I was looking at it, it's quite staggering, really. When was the last time that probably... Has that ever happened at a tournament? Could this be the youngest squad? If you look at the average age, it's 25...
What happened at Le
What, the one that we won?
The rest of the football.
Well, Ian Wright's always been old, and he was there. And Paul Scholes probably wasn't that old then.
Scott, no.
Seaman was in goal, so yeah, we were all back now.
That was when David Seaman was actually young.
97, so.
Well, reasonably.
Has he ever been young?
Before the ponytail.
Yeah, pre-ponytail.
Still with a moustache, which no one under the age of 30 should ever rock.
But he could.
Yeah.
It was a different time.
a more innocent time.
So you'd be going for Dele Alli then? He's probably quite surprised he even made it into the Spurs team.
I mean, he's been absolutely fabulous, and I think he'll actually displace possibly my favourite player in the Premier League, which is Ross Barkley, who's also had a really good season, but he's just kind of tailed off.
I think the difference between them is Alli seemingly is more consistent than Barkley, I think.
Yeah, and Barkley's a bit more of a bruiser. He's good to bring off well, off the bench. He's perfect for that kind of sub to make something happen.
It's that old cliche. It's a nice problem to have, isn't it?
Dropping cliche, the only time. Cliche number one.
But that's the only one of the only times in life you say that. Oh, it's a nice problem to have.
I think I'm the only person who didn't actually have Ross Barkley in their England squad, David Tank, because I think he's a bit inconsistent. he's up and down. I think England needed someone a bit more reliable than that.
We'll probably print Dave's England squad on the internet, and there is a few inconsistencies.
One or two, perhaps. So, Ad, who have you got for Glad They Made It?
Well, to be fair, I'm going to echo what Stan's saying, really, just because what I like about Dele Alli is the fact that he just offers something totally different to what we are used to seeing as an attacking midfield player. And, I mean, if you just look at the amount of goals he scored as well coming from midfield this season...
How many has he got for Spurs? I don't know.
About 10,
yeah, at least 10. I think he's got about 9 assists because I had him on my fantasy league team and he did.
Did you really? You never told us that.
Him and Ross Barkley.
So. Every time Dele Alli did anything on our fantasy league WhatsApp or Facebook group, it would Alli would pop up, and quite a lot, although not so much over the last 4 or 5 games.
Yeah,
but so, I think obviously with Spurs dropping form, it really showed how important he was to them after he got sent off. That's kind of when their promotion thing dropped.
Totally.
Did he get sent off? Was he just retroactively banned?
He was retroactively banned because he lashed out. But that's what I kind of like about
him. I thought he got sent off in the game.
No,
I thought he got sent off and had a ban added.
No, he didn't. It was retrospectively. The referee didn't see it. I mean, well, that's what you kind of like. All the classic players always have that kind of air of danger about them. That kind of playing football in the park almost mentality. That you're not afraid to kick the opposition, which has its moments in the game. You can't all be prima donnas, really. Anyway, Ad, is there anyone else that you think...
Big fan of Tom Heaton, aren't you? I don't think if I was sat next to Tom Heaton on a bus, I'd know it was Tom Heaton. I don't know what he looks like. Do you know what he looks like? Could you draw me a picture of Tom Heaton?
I could, but it'd just be a very generic-looking man.
Yeah, I assume he probably...
I can't draw, so basically all my English players look identical.
Talking about Tom Heaton, I mean, the last time me and Chris went to the last England game, Tom Heaton was warming up, and I couldn't believe how small he was. But I actually looked on the internet and found he was 6'2", so it proved how big the other goalies are. I mean, Fraser Forster, who I famously met on the way to Las Vegas at the airport, and he's a very big man.
That's one of your most basic moments of life I've ever seen. And we were on our way to America, and it was September, and just ahead of us in the security queue were Neil Lennon and Fraser Forster. And Stan was a goalkeeper when he played, and I think you still get a bit nervous around goalkeepers, don't you?
Well, I mean, they're the most important player on the pitch.
And he went up to Fraser Forster, and bear in mind, this was late September.
With his manager.
I don't know why this came out of your mouth, maybe you can explain now. Simply went, "Are you going on holiday?"
Yeah, for some reason I'd forgotten that we were in the middle of the football season. Well, the start of the football season, and I did ask if he was going on holiday.
I think the phrase "losing your shit" is probably...
And the fact we were going to Las Vegas, I mean...
Neil Lennon and Fraser Forster weren't going to Las Vegas together during the season. They were just at the same school.
They're just good friends. Yeah, that has to be...
Neil Lennon's wife was there and children.
Tom Heaton, I mean, it'll come back to a comment I've had before, is my theory is, well, I think Jack Butland would have been there, I think we'd all agree 100% as the third choice, or even the second choice. What is the point of taking a 30-year-old goalkeeper with no caps that's not going to play in the tournament? I just don't see that. My philosophy, and if we post...
Well, that leads on to your squad
as
well.
You'll see that I picked Jordan Pickford as my goalkeeper for the third choice. It's only because the fact is he will possibly play in later tournaments, and Tom Heaton will not get anything out of this tournament apart from it's a good couple of stories to tell his grandchildren.
Yeah, I mean, yourself, you're the only one to have not picked one of the three that Roy's picked, apart from Dave, who Dave's third choice. Your keeper was
my third choice keeper was Reece Charles Cook of Coventry City, because I think with these tournaments, you may as well look to the future. In 10 years' time, he'll be England's number one. You may as well blood him in now.
Dave is a Coventry fan. You'll learn who we all support, probably in this conversation, by some of the slight bias that may be coming your way.
But we all laugh at Dave's comment, but that is actually a valid point.
Yeah.
Because the fact is, he is a young English goalkeeper. So the point is, why not take a young English goalkeeper?
Yeah, I mean, is Hodgson going to go, well, let's see, I'll look at Tom Heaton, I might start him as number one. I mean, I think it's very close between Forster and Hart.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd be quite happy with either of those goalkeepers. I think Joe Hart's just got it with his Champions League experience, but and the fact he's had the shirt for 57 caps.
While we're on third choice keepers, Dave, Wales is third choice keeper. Who have you gone for?
I have gone for Danny Ward of Liverpool.
Would he not be second choice now? Is Owen Von Williams not going to be number three? Is it close between them?
It's as close as can be. But obviously the questions you've gone for, you have to want to ask me now who...
Hold on. Dave gets a, this is a, actually segues nicely into the Mike not being there. It's the fact that Preston North End, I mean, if there is a goalkeeper injury, the standby goalkeeper is Preston North End's new goalkeeper, Chris Maxwell. So, yeah, for Wales.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know. Ever heard of him?
No,
but
okay.
Used to play for
some goalkeepers. Some third choice goalkeepers. Let's be perfectly honest. It's the least important.
Well, we've actually moved on to fourth choice keepers. Incredibly, it was not originally planned. Keeper, do you think? Toss a coin.
Probably Charles Cook.
Put some names. So we were without there. Glad they made it after the sort of second keepers. Question, is there anyone you're surprised there, Dave?
Who am I glad made it?
Yeah, you can do England and Wales.
Wales? Yeah. Obviously, I would say Gareth Bale, but he's actually not made it yet. He's not in the squad.
So are you going to be watching the Champions League final through your fingers and just terrified?
No, it'll be fine. I'm actually glad George Williams, I forgot his name second there, is going.
Really glad, obviously, you could bring
this name. I've got to say...
Who was G. Williams? I was trying to remember his first name was Gareth or George. Because George Williams, young winger, been on loan at Gillingham this year. That's a couple of years ago. I'm seeing him for Wales. Came as a sub against the Netherlands, back when the Netherlands weren't dreadful and we were dang average. And he tore them apart. He looked... he was 17 at the time. He looked a bit of pace.
Who did he play for?
He faced Fulham.
Oh, OK. Could Fulham really be loaning him? They did terrible this year. What on earth have they loaned him out?
I've absolutely no idea.
Very bizarre choice.
I think it's just experience these days. I think Fulham, and we're talking about international football, have a pretty big squad. In fact, if you're paying these players, you better get them.
Yeah,
George Williams strikes as a kind of player. I don't think he'll start every game. I don't think he'll start many games. But if we're chasing a game and the opposition look tiring, he's the kind of person I'm quite happy to see come on. Bit of pace, not scared to take defenders on. And defenders don't like people running at them. And if you've got a good bit of pace, you can make room for other players.
Yeah.
I think he's a useful person to take along.
Chris, who are you happy to see?
I mean, kind of agree with all of you. Maybe not with George Williams, because I have no idea who he is. Definitely if I was sat next to him and Tom Heaton on a train. I don't think they'd know who each other was.
That's the name of the new BBC Two series next year.
Tommy and George Williams on a bus.
Well, a train.
Probably Jack Wilshere, I think, because I think he's the one player you gamble on. I think he's the one you go, okay, yes, you've only played about, you know, what, game and a half worth of minutes probably all season. But it has been at the end, but he can just make the difference there.
He also hasn't got the excuse of being tired, which is a valid one, because a lot of people complain that due to the fact we don't have a winter break and things like that, professional footballers are playing a lot of games. The Liverpool lads have played an absolutely extraordinary amount of games.
He is, however, made of Easter egg chocolate.
Yeah, we could possibly have an entire episode dedicated to the Arsenal injury list and where did it go wrong, the physios.
So I'd be Jack Wilshere, definitely.
With the England squad, obviously you've got Wilshere, who's made of spit and dust, essentially. You've got Henderson, who's come back from a bit of an injury. Davin Dell's been on and off this year. Would you suggest that, admittedly, this is the provisional England squad, there's a few too many milky footballers who could...
But I think there's two milky footballers for one position. So you pick one milky out of two.
Yeah.
You've also got to remember there's three big friendlies coming up, all within a week and a half. And as we know with major tournaments, there is likely to be one injury.
You lose one or two.
So in those friendlies, when will Shadell and Henderson all break down? That's pretty much the Tom Cleverley time, isn't it?
Yeah. Didn't he also meet the squad?
He did meet the squad. He's definitely fit. So
that's the only squad Tom Cleverley would have made this year.
He's played big in the last 12 months.
That is a shocking stat.
It is true.
Was everyone away at an Intertoto tournament? Yeah.
I think if Tom Cleverley had made it, he'd probably be the answer for most people, apart from Dave's next question. What the hell is he doing there? Ad? Who's the one in the square? I'll get mine out of the way and then we'll go on to Ed. I'm Raheem Sterling completely. Always will be, always have been. The reason we were eliminated from the last World Cup three times was because of Roy's decision to play him ahead of Lallana. But I'll not carry on too much about that. Ad, I wonder if you've got a similar or a different answer.
I would definitely go with Raheem Sterling. I mean, he's been found out this year. That's the way I look at it. He's made a big money move and he's just done nothing. He's being stopped from getting into the Man City team by Navas, who is one of the worst wingers in the Premiership, as far as I'm concerned.
Did you know Navas is Pellegrini's most capped player while he's been managing Man City?
It's ridiculous. As a winger, your job is to go down the wing, put in a good cross, get as many assists as possible. What has Navas actually done? This year, the amount of assists you could count on the palm of your hand.
I think you look at it.
On the palm of your hand. Finger.
I'm not very good with phrases.
you'll definitely be learning this.
Navas plays for one of the biggest clubs in the country, one of the most successful clubs, plays almost every week. And do you know anyone who picks Navas in their fantasy league?
Did he make the Spain squad? I don't think he did.
No, he didn't.
Didn't he?
No goals, no assists. What is the point?
Has he literally got no goals or assists this season?
I think he's got about two or three assists. Yeah. No. If I could go the stats, I would. But I know
if you're listening, please get in touch.
Just go in blind.
of course, if you do... go on, Ed.
No, but the fact... So you've got this person who is not assisting, not scoring goals, and Raheem Sterling cannot get into the Man City team ahead of him because he's playing that badly. And yet, he is in the England squad.
He's in the provincial. Hopefully, doesn't. Although, we haven't got a lot of width in that midfield, particularly.
We haven't, we'll come on to that later on.
Yeah.
I've got a lot to say on that issue.
Yeah. Which, you know, is. But then, I guess, with your strikers up front, you've got some more of the width there. So, Stan, what the hell is he doing there? Are you similar, or?
It comes back down to Man City again. I mean, the one. And Villa. I mean, Fabian Delph. I mean, he made a big money move to Man City. He hasn't really played any games. I know he's been injured. I mean, he got injured very early on in the season. But you just look at him, and his name sticks out more than any of what have you done to deserve a place here. I mean, someone like Mark Noble, I mean, I'm not the biggest Mark Noble fan, but the fact is, I'd be slightly annoyed if I wasn't in the England squad and Fabian Delph. I know he's played for Roy before, and he's done okay, but... You just see him there, he just jumps out for me. I mean, he hasn't really done anything.
I think Roy has put him, as you said, because he's used him before. He used him in the Switzerland game when he was in that midfield and he was superb. So I think he's there, but he is very much there as the extra men. You would think him and Drinkwater are the extra men.
Well, if you had to pick between Danny Drinkwater and Fabian Delph, I'd still do Drink.
I've never heard Stan say, I'd drink water, because we all know bottles of water. He's been slopping down Hooch and Carlsberg.
I like Danny Drinkwater.
We also started recording before midday.
I think they do a similar job, but I think Danny Drinkwater's in form. Fabian Delph, I just think, really sticks out.
Yeah. But, you've got to think it's Drinkwater. Delph, if Henderson and Wiltshire stay fit, then
that's why they're there. I mean, the fact is, Wiltshire and Henderson are both holding
I think as cover, you need to go with who you know. And I think that's why Delph is there ahead of someone like Manover, who Roy doesn't know rightly or wrongly, because he's not called him up before. Dave, have you got what the hell is he doing there for Wales?
I have. I mean, being that obviously going to go past Danny Drinkwater, the most appropriately named footballer in the world, because he's a big glass of water, bland, will do nothing, won't play, will be on the bench. Waste of time.
He's the Jermaine Jenas
23. He's the Jermaine Jenas in the squad. Danny Drinkwater's not even going to go, is he? He's got one cap. He's going to get cut off the next week because he's rubbish.
Dave is not pro Leicester. Anyway, we'll not go into that.
Yeah. Also, wouldn't take Jamie Vardy. Very unsavory character. For Wales, to be perfectly honest,
controversial.
I've used the phrase before. If you're half decent in Welsh, you're probably in the Wales squad. There's no one there. I look at him and go, what's he doing there? Everyone in the Wales squad. There's.
No, I think are you going to say Simon Church?
Simon Church? Who are taking instead of Simon Church though? There's no Welsh
striker. Wes Burns?
Wes Burns is in the squad.
A physical church? Would you take a physical church over Simon
Charlotte?
That's another church.
There is a Welsh striker I would take, but he's come up on the question later, so I can't really answer that now. Okay. There's no Welsh striker there. There's no striker who's Welsh who is better than...
Did you not fancy Coleman trying to Jamaica it a little bit? Like when Jamaica got to the 98 World Cup and they were just phoning around anyone who was playing in the Premier League at the time who could possibly have any sort of Jamaican ancestry?
I think it's very important.
Troy Deeney might have had a Welsh aunt. Or...
It's important that the Ben Turner of Cardiff decided not to accept the Wales call that he was offered. And the portrait of Ryan Shawcross and Aaron Ramsey have a bit of history.
Do they hate each other, really? I mean, it's only an accident.
Football builds bridges. Shawcross would have been perfect.
And now singing Love Can Build a Bridge.
I mean, with all due respect to Paul Dummett, is he better than Ryan Shawcross? No, but Ryan Shawcross doesn't seem to want to go play for Wales. So.
But as Chris has pointed out, someone like a Troy Deeney, someone that's probably eighth or ninth choice for England, that you've got to have been going through... Who do you think you are? The BBC, the Ancestry show.
At the same time,
some Welsh charities.
Charlie Austin, for example, because he's probably not going to get another look at
it. Chris Coleman, and you've qualified with the Wales squad, first manager to do it since the 1950s, and the slogan is hashtag together stronger. You can't go, right, boys, we've got to the Euros, but unfortunately, together stronger, not that strong. Simon Church, you can bog off. I'm going to get in Troy Deeney, who's never played for us. It is about building a team rather than a squad. And
yeah, well, as you know, as Leicester have shown with winning the Premier League individually, take one of them out, probably apart from exclude Kante and Mahrez, maybe put them in a bigger team. They're probably not gonna stand out.
Leicester are a glorified championship club. They dropping back down just
so parts of the machine is what made them.
This is not the claim of ever on the podcast. Only certain country supporters.
Dave Hughes represent himself as the nation of Wales.
I think you'll find that the Notts Forest fan was also. I think Leicester next year they're gonna struggle.
Again, we should explain it. If you hear our voice. That is Ad's inner monologue that you're hearing out loud, an impression of him.
That's Ad.
Ad, would you have something to say?
I'd like to say, no time have I ever sounded like Bongo or Zippy from Rainbow.
You've never sounded like...
No,
it's
Zippy.
Actually,
Bongo's the big game there.
It's not James, and indeed Freddy.
We're not going to talk about the amazing stories we know about Roger and Freddie on this podcast anyway. But let's carry on.
We're knocking on to half an hour now. We're not even at question three.
We'll edit half this out.
We'll revoice Ad's part so you can understand.
Ad has been revoiced by the actor Tom Baker.
I'd love to see that.
Okay, we've all done what the hell's he doing there. God, I miss him so much. Dave.
It's pretty easy. He's in his early 40s. I still play around gigs now. He's never played at a tournament, has he?
He's
played a few for Man U, but internationally, around gigs.
He's 41 now.
He's probably still better than David Vaughan. So
I'm gonna say my loyalty, of course, being a Liverpool fan. The kind of player that Wales need is an Ian Rush.
He's definitely too old. I know he's 60 now. Do you need a goal scorer? They do have the world's most expensive footballer.
But it's good to have someone that can put it back on that. And Ian Rush used to do that consistently.
Yeah, I mean, but Ryan Giggs, this question, I would still take Ryan Giggs now. I wouldn't take Ian Rush now. He's primeval.
Eric Young?
Poor buddy.
Eric Young. Eric Young would definitely bleed everywhere, and that would...
I don't think he's still bleeding. Hopefully he's had stitches.
Apparently he puts on a T-shirt,
straight away. Closed. Claret.
Like a fountain.
So you're missing Ryan Giggs so much?
Yes.
Okay. Stan?
The most obvious player, I think, with all this is... I'd love to see David Beckham play back with this team. I mean... He was masterful at putting the ball into the box. And we've got the players now, with Harry Kane especially, that would benefit so much. Through balls on the ground to someone like Jamie Vardy. A Beckham or Scholes. I think also the big position, a leader like Tony Adams, someone in centre-back or even a Rio Ferdinand.
Any sort of centre-back, pretty
much. A Rio Ferdinand or even Big Sol. I mean, we all love Big Sol's bumbling runs in 98 and
strange. This actually does tie in to the people you would take along. Ad has actually picked up, you're the only person to pick this lad, another rather unsavory character, only just stepping up with a new contract by Chelsea. Maybe don't leave him with your wife or people of a different ethnic race. But
anyway, those are the views of Dave. No, no one can listen. Just Dave and probably will be edited.
When you see those documents with black lines over it, that's what we're going to verbally do today.
Yeah. No, totally. John Terry, for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Even, well, at his prime or now?
I'd even take him now.
Well, I suppose we're short.
The thing, the England team we've got, it's really exciting from an attacking point of view, which is like one of the rarest things you see from an England side. There is so many options, which maybe we haven't in the past. But where we're always strong was at the back. And you look at our team now, and that is still a concern for me. We have got, okay, some players of promise in the full-back positions, but in the centre, Gary Cahill, he's been a good servant, but he's not been playing much this year. Smalling, to be fair, is getting better. This is probably his best season. But then you've got the promise of John Stones, which has been ruined by Martinez this year. And he's short confidence and not looking the player that we all hoped and thought he would be. So then you have a massive gap.
Yeah.
Genuine question. Who's played more games this year for Chelsea out of Cahill and John Terry?
It's a very important. When Chelsea had their massive dip under Mourinho, Mourinho dropped John Terry. In comes Hudink, he puts Terry back in, and then Chelsea went for a very long time without actually losing a game and slowly built up to get back into the top half of the table. Terry was very important during that period. It's the experience, the leadership that he has. He was very, very reliable for England. I'm sorry, when you've got the defenders that we have, there's a big concern that you haven't got a leader to stop the goals from going in.
But Terry Butcher was also very reliable for England and a leader, but he's too old now. He'll get caught out defensively and has a little pace. He's the same, not true of John Terry.
I'm sorry, but if in a big match we need to stop the goals from going in, we need to have level heads, and you can put John Terry on to give it experience, his leadership, and just to help the younger players out, because it is a young team, it could be invaluable. It could be the difference between getting knocked out.
Could it not all go a bit Jamie Carragher, though, when Capello dragged him out of the morgue or wherever he found him all the time at home, and pushed him onto the pitch with David James, and it was absolutely horrendous. Jamie Carragher was never good for England, let alone when he was 35.
Try to picture the England offside trap getting ruined by, Tezza's there, we're just walking, not quite getting back in time.
Although Carragher was a top-class player, John Terry, at his prime, was always far better.
Jamie Carragher was good for Liverpool.
Yes.
It can be said he was good for Liverpool.
Going back to the point, I mean, me and Adam picked up the kind of similar player. I mean, I did say Beckham, but later on I talked about the defence. It's strange. I mean, we're getting into a major tournament and we're not sure of our back four. I mean,
I think the four of us would probably agree, but I think if you look at sort of the BBC's had their sort of squad predictor, the back four is. There's very little consistency in the four.
I don't understand how anyone can pick Walker over Clyne right back.
No, it does seem a strange one, doesn't it? But you know,
they are both in the squad, so you probably will start with Clyne.
I mean, there will be a time, but it's just strange that there isn't a consistency. Chris, who would you pick to bolster this England?
Who I miss so much?
Yeah,
I'm going to go with someone who's not, you know, I'm not going to say Jeff Hurst or Alan Ball or Jimmy Green. Neil Ruddock and Steve Howe, best centre-back partnership England have ever had, thank you.
For that clean sheet.
The towers they were. Danny Welbeck would be the one who I think is missing now. Roy, you know, he's one of those who kind of steps up and is far better for England because he fits the system. Rather than necessarily his club level, and sometimes players get picked for who they are rather than how they fit.
I think everyone would have had Danny Welbeck in their England squad if he wasn't injured. I mean, historically, I'm not saying go back to the Jeff Hurst. I mean, take the Euro 96 or the 98s. Is there anyone you'd kind of transport out of time to bring into this England squad?
It's Stuart Ripley, 100%.
No.
What about the Welsh? Who could we pick from that? Roger Freestone, Swansea goalkeeper? Or
again, Barry Horn is fit now. I'm probably going to win today.
The great musical group, the Barry Horns.
Yeah.
It is strange, actually. You look at the Wales squads from the early 90s, and you look at the likes of Giggs, Rush, Hughes.
Saunders.
Big Nev.
Yeah, I got the great musical group, the Barry Horns. Sorry, I didn't realize you were 65.
No, the Barry Horns are
band. I think they follow us on Twitter, actually.
Yeah, great shout out.
It was just the way that you said the musical act, Barry Horn.
I'm just thinking that since so many great players of Wales passed, the squad now, arguably, especially strike force wise, is weaker than it was in, say, 94-95, but they're the ones that got there.
Yeah. Big Nev, though. You'd love to have Big Nev.
Big Nev's excellent.
Nearly self-centering.
At the time, Wales had Tony Roberts as a second-choice keeper. And
he was having that till a couple of seasons ago, still playing for Dagenham and Redbridge.
He was a goalkeeping coach, player coach, wasn't
he? Yeah, but he was the goalkeeping coach at Arsenal, not even at Dagenham.
I've got Tony Roberts' autograph.
Okay.
A signed Com City programme from 1993.
In episode two, we talk about footballers we've got signed.
And we'll move on to the top dog next. But what we're going to do now is we're going to have Ian Dowie tell us about who he thinks for Northern Ireland's chances and who he thinks might be one of their stars. We'll be back after Ian. Take it away.
My name's Ian Dowie. Played for Southampton, Crystal Palace, Luton, Northern Ireland. So 59 caps, 12 goals, captain them 12 times. Got a reasonable chance of getting out of the group. In fact, I'm going to put my neck on the line and say they do get out of the group. Who will be the star player? I'm rather surprisingly, I think a lad who played very well in this Cup semi-final, Cathcart, will be a star player. The surprise package will be Conor McLaughlin, the right back, who's very, very good, and don't know why he's still playing for Fleetwood. Who would I take if I could take anyone? Well, in that case, it's very, very simple. I would take Cristiano Ronaldo.
There we go. Thanks very much, Ian Dowie. Chris O'Naldo, the well-known Irishman, I think he's from Derry, will be making the squad if Dowie was boss.
And that's probably why he's never managed Northern Ireland.
Yes.
Good
lad. Very nice guy. So yeah, and we'll watch out for Craig Cathcart and obviously Northern Ireland getting out of the group.
And
not an easy group either. Ukraine, Poland,
and
Germany.
That Ian Dowie didn't pluck his new venture, as he's the sales manager for some companies. That right? He's left football. And
yeah, he's got some job somewhere, but he seems to be on TV still quite a lot, and I think he's one of ITV's pundits. Is he our pundit first?
I don't know if you guys know this, but back when I was 12 years old, I wrote letters to Ian Dowie.
Did you?
I did. And he actually wrote back. He was a lovely man, very gracious.
Was he the one who sent you the letter about the smell of perfume?
No, that was Sean McCarthy, who obviously couldn't bother to write a letter back, so just doused my letter of perfume and said, sorry, your questions got wet.
Did he say your questions got wet?
Yeah. But luckily, his aftershave, which apparently is spilt all over my letter, so I don't know if he's carrying my letter around in his toiletry bag. The address, luckily, was preserved, but...
From this Ian Dowie...
Ian Dowie was
a Ian Dowie story, but I remember being about 12. Did you not draw a picture of Ian Dowie and send it to him?
That is factually inaccurate. I did ask Ian Dowie how he felt when people mocked his looks, and he said he was unconcerned, he was very happy with his looks, and he was a handsome man.
And then you took that to heart, didn't you, Dave? Took that to heart.
Well, yes, I started fancying Ian Dowie. Only when he was manager of Comfort City and gave us all the fist of fun afterwards, which... That I should highlight for legal purposes was a celebration.
Ian said he reckons Craig Cathcart is going to be the star from Northern Ireland and also the fullback McLaughlin from Fleetwood. Conor McLaughlin, did he say?
Conor McLaughlin.
Yeah. So they were his top dogs. Who's your top dog, Dave Clare?
Lad, I don't know if you've heard of him, called Gareth Bale.
No, is he? Oh, is he that young lad from Fulham?
He's his cousin. Probably that's not true. But he used to play for Tottenham. He's gone over to a foreign country now to make his name over there.
America, MLS.
He's actually in La Liga.
In a league?
La Liga. In Spain. Spain. Where he's playing quite well. He's tipped the future. Gareth Bale, look out for him. He should score some goals.
Yeah. Any agreements with that?
Yeah, well, to be fair, he is the only truly world-class player that Wales have got.
Well, it's a theory that the Wales squad, the paid England squad, obviously not as good. There are three players in the Wales squad who I think, if they're English, would have a cap by now. And I think there's two players in the Wales squad who, if they're English, would be going to the Euros in the England squad.
Who is the other one?
Well, obviously it's Bell and Ramsey would be going to the Euros.
I think you probably could look at Ashley Williams.
I think Williams would be capped, but Williams doesn't play for a glamorous club, and therefore would be left behind the likes of... Williams is probably better than John Stones, but he wouldn't go.
Certainly more consistent.
Without one sound controversial, there's not many England players in the squad who are at clubs that aren't exactly glamorous. Mm-hmm. I think that is the one problem. Townsend, obviously, used to be at Tottenham from most of the season. That's
Roy knows Townsend.
Yeah. He does. But England don't really call up players who don't play for glamorous sides.
Well, not under the old regimes. I mean, Roy's actually gone to teams like Southampton and Everton.
Southampton are still a top part of the club, aren't they?
Well, they have been, yeah.
I mean, have been. Fun stat, I've knocked one out. 11 of England's last 19 debutants have been caught up in England being managed by Mauricio Pochettino.
And it proves what a great bringer in of young talent and nurturing of players. Chris?
Top dog.
Top dog.
I think it's going to be Rooney, actually. Up front or in midfield. Ooh. I think it's probably his. I mean, obviously, you've got the likes of Ali, who kind of unknown quantities, and they'll probably benefit from that. But I think it really probably knows it.
Who was England's top tournament? England's top scorer in qualifying was?
Well, it's well better than.
Yeah, people mock him, he's still got the goods.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think with his midfield role as well, I think he likes to sort of be part of everything, so maybe that role suits him even better.
Yeah.
Who's your top dog?
Well, I'll sound like a broken record. I'm going back to Dele Alli again.
That's fair enough, I think.
But what I like with the Dele Alli situation at the moment, and where it hasn't helped for Tottenham in the last few games of the season, but for England, is the fact that because of his little mean streak and that sending off, he comes into the tournament fresh and with a lot to prove. So I'm expecting big things.
But is he that sort of Gazza 90 kind of, Palace, Man United rerunning the FA Cup, Spurs have done well, that precocious young Spurs midfielder comes in.
Does he like a drink?
But it also means it would be Rooney doing it, to have a word with him to Roy, a confused old man on the subs bench. A lot like 90 in many ways, isn't it?
It is.
Mine would be Rooney. Stan?
Harry Kane. It's got to be Harry Kane. I mean, he's had such a good season this year. Fantastic goal scorer. I mean, the goal he scored against Germany, I mean, Kreuter. But Harry Kane's just a fantastic footballer. If he has a very good tournament, I can see him doing really well. And it's controversial because Dave hates him. I think Jamie Vardy, I mean, he's going to come off the bench. Wouldn't be surprised if he got a couple of goals. His pace is electric. He is fantastic.
The only way Dave could learn to love Jamie Vardy more is when he bagged a hat-trick against Wales.
Well, it's possible that Harry Kane is the only striker in England we've all selected. I mean, I think I've selected Rooney as a midfielder for England, but Harry Kane is the only English striker that has made all of our squads. Because he's England's best striker.
He's had a fantastic year and a half, hasn't he, really?
Well, I mean, we've got the stats down there. He's 10 and 4, but that's still good. I mean, I remember me and Chris were there for his debut when he scored. And he just looks like he's going to score every time he plays.
I mean, you look at the San Marino qualifier from last year, where Mr Vardy looked like the championship player he was, looked clumsy, useless. Harry Kane comes on the sub, scores straight away. I think that tells the same story. One is a player, an international footballer. One of them is a glorified pub player. You can decide which one's which.
Controversial.
Strong views from David Clare. Of course, if you want to disagree with anything Dave says, you can find us on Twitter. We've managed to get David Bander's brother's Twitter address to use. So it's at KBanderPodcast. KBANDA Podcast. And Facebook is the same. And then you can email us canesbanesandautomobiles@gmail.com.
Canesbanesandautomobiles.
It's Ian Dowie's fault. He says that. When we've got a promo recorded from Ian Dowie, and he says Canes as well, so you try and say it.
Kane, Baines and Automobiles, because there's one Harry Kane.
And Baines and Automobiles.
That was Ad, and now Stan.
That was Baines, Baines and Automobiles.
That's everyone's top dogs, everyone's on their top dogs.
Are we actually going to cut to Mike at all with any of his references? I mean, Mike has a list here, and Mike has...
No, he couldn't be bothered to come over. Mike will be with us next episode, which will be out, as we said before, will be straight after the France-Romania game. Hopefully online with you on the Saturday.
Now, obviously, we're going to head next to the guilty pleasure section.
Yeah.
You've got to do better talk, because I think Ad's got a long spiel. With that,
I just wanted to make sure.
I've got a bloody dissertation written out on.
What are we defining as guilty pleasures? Because mine's a white Russian.
Players, who would you have taken, but in reality, probably never really stood a chance?
Oh, I like how you put that in just as a.
It's how the questions are worded when I said that. You can see they're written down there.
Can I go first before Ad starts?
Yeah,
I've got two answers. One for Wales, one for England. For Wales, George Thomas, comedy striker, good young lad. Probably scored as many goals for Wales as Wes Burns.
Can you name another Welshman?
Kean Harris of Coventry City, centre back.
But doesn't play for Coventry City.
I don't name any Welshmen, but
squad players.
Yes, Andrew Crofts, who was on the Gillingham most last season, and Owen Page.
Which club was he playing at there?
Gillingham. And for England, I've already led the England squad.
How many of them play for Coventry City?
We only allow one guilty pleasure each.
Yeah, I'm my guilty pleasure in the squad.
Yep.
And I've actually got logic for this.
Yep.
Is I put in Ryan Mason as a player should go on England. And I'll tell you for why.
Spurs Ryan Mason, yeah?
Tottenham Hotspur's Ryan Mason. If you look at the Premier League last year, and you look at which club with an English spine, with the best team in the country, it'd be Tottenham. And that's undeniable.
True.
And if you look at the England squad, you've got Kyle Walker, Danny Rose, you have got Dyer, you've got Ali, and you've got Harry Kane. A good squad, a core, a good English players playing Tottenham. Now, I'm not saying Ryan Mason should start, definitely shouldn't, he's not that good. But if you look at the people like Delph and Drinkwater, who are the board, you know, they're the Jermaine Jameson, they're the subs bench midfielders who'll never start the game. And I'm thinking, if you get England needs a win, there's 10 minutes to go, players are flagging. And I'm like, you know, you're Dele Alli, you're a bit knackered, get tired. You're going to feel a bit much happier seeing Ryan Mason coming on the pitch than who's coming on? Oh, it's Fabian Delph. You know, Dele Alli would know, Mason knows how he plays, that they're going to have that natural, that they'll gel naturally. And I think, as been proven with Leicester in the Premier League this season, you need a team rather than a bunch of players. So I think, you know, Delph's not going to start, Drinkwater's not going to start, I'm not saying Ryan Mason should start. If one of those three players was coming on as a sub, and you're Harry Kane and Dele Alli, you'd be much happier seeing your friend Ryan Mason, who knows how you play, than Danny Drinkwater, who doesn't.
Would Gazza have been happy to see Jimmy Fivebellies coming on?
He would have loved it, because Fivebellies would have had a kebab and a pint.
Gary Mabber?
I did look into Ryan, because obviously we talked about this previously,
yeah.
And he's only played enough minutes to complete 8 Premier League games this season.
And how is that compared to Jack Wilshere?
I thought Dave was going to use the phrase fresh.
Yeah. Ryan Mason.
I always thought Ryan Mason was Irish. He looks and sounds like, doesn't sound, it looks and his name suggests he just should be Irish.
Ryan Mason's not that. Ryan Mason's been captain England in the last 6 months, so he's not as wild as what we're about to hear from Professor Andrew Roberts with his...
well, look, I've got to go and do some house cleaning.
I might drive to Nottingham back.
I've got some stuff
Put... It's 2 paragraphs.
2 pages.
It's
second
page.
On to the next page. A size 7 font, single spacing.
Right.
Yeah, go on, Dave, you ask him.
I think your speech at your wedding was shorter than that.
Go on, Dave, you ask the question.
Okay. Stan, who's your guilty pleasure?
honestly, I'd have to say, he wasn't even in my squad, but it would have been nice to have seen Andy Carroll.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to have had a bigger man.
Yeah, it's there to mix things up. I think we all sort of
big man. The big man in English football is an underrated position.
It is, but it's one thing Mike would definitely say if he was here. It confuses and upsets foreign defence. I think I would go, and I'm going to hopefully second get. I'm going to change what I was going to say,
ooh.
And I would go for Antonio from West Ham because I think he's completely average, has lower statistics than Raheem Sterling, and would just be fine to sit on the bench and. He looks like quite a nice chap.
He looks like the kind of person who, he'd never play, but if, I don't know, Frederick Ward wants his feet massaged, he'll do it.
He'd be like the one who won like a found a ticket in a Kit Kat to like get in the Big Brother house or whatever, he wanted to
get. He's like Charlie Bucket.
No.
Anyway, Ads, that's pretty much it, I think, isn't it?
Oh, what?
Thank you for listening to the
video. I haven't gone too long. I've only got a little bit to
justify. Join us next week as we explore where Ad is still speaking and why we're still listening.
Go on, that's just otherwise we're at the end of it. Ad.
I would take Mikel Antonio, West Ham, and I know you're mocking it, but statistically...
better than Raheem Sterling.
No, he's had a good 6 months.
No, he has got on the team in December, and in that period, goals and assists, 14 total, which is better than Lallana's in the squad, better than Sterling, and better than Walcott, but admittedly Walcott now is not actually in the squad, but that's
neither by the by.
But also, for the versatility, I know he's a right winger, but he's been playing as emergency right back recently for West Ham,
but does that
and still
not...
getting goals at...
Does that not mean he's not been good enough to be West Ham's first choice right winger?
No, it's because they haven't got a fit right back, and they just put him in, and he's done well.
How many assists has he got again?
Well, it's a 14 is the assist and goal total.
How many assists? Because if he's got less than 10 assists, that makes him worse than Jesus Navas, who's got 10 assists this season.
He's only played for 5 months of the season as Antonio.
But then that surely answers the question that maybe it's a bit too soon for him. He's not young.
No, look, at the end of the day, the guy has power, pace, strength in abundance. And the one thing that England squad doesn't have is width.
There's not a lot in that midfield. There isn't a huge amount of width.
So if you've got someone with pace which will threaten defenders, an unknown quantity, man who has proven this year, the last 5 months we've been playing, to get goals and assists. Last year, I know it's a championship, but he got 17 goals and 19 assists.
It's not
a one-trick pony.
Would you be talking about him if he hadn't played for Nottingham Forest? And two, does he have a clause in his contract that gets more money for Nottingham Forest than
he played for? I would bloody hope so.
Surely the mental Forest chairman wouldn't have been the smart to put that clause in.
I think, to be fair, the Notts Forest chairman probably realises that Mikel Antonio, having gone from Notts Forest to West Ham, isn't likely to get him a call up anytime soon. So it's not worth wasting lawyers' time.
No, possibly.
And also, to be fair, that money with the clause in the contract, Forest couldn't spend anyway because they'd be on a transfer market.
I see where you're coming from. I just think, you know, if he's still doing what he's doing at the moment in a year's time, or 8 months' time, or 10 months' time, then probably he does need to be looked at. I think you've got to consider him.
I think he should certainly be looking to be getting appearances and friendlies next season. But I still think he should have this season. Who knows?
The problem is because when his form has hit, there's not really been many England games. You know, there's nothing over Christmas. If his form's hit, when did it say? 4 months? So what are we? February? So he's only missed, it's only one squad.
Yeah.
So it's only one squad he's missed out on, and then his form's been building up to a squad announcement, which he's obviously not going to have, realistically, he's not going to be considered for, because, you know, it's your tournament squad, you've got to take who you know, I suppose.
Yeah, well, no, I take it on board, but I just think sometimes you need to take a risk and take an unknown quantity.
I think it's about that time.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much everything.
Wembley Way is a calling.
That's episode one. Hopefully you'll come back for episode two. As we said, on Twitter it's @KBanderPodcast, same as on Facebook, @KBanderPodcast. It's Kane, Baines and Automobiles.
You got it right!
You can email us at KaneBainesandAutomobiles@gmail.com. We'll be back for EP 2, which we'll be recording after the first game of Euro 2016, which is France versus Romania.
And we should have Mike.
And hopefully, all being well, we'll have Mike with us.
And a motorhome.
And a motorhome that's probably going to have been driven into by the time we're recording, so probably will be depressed because we won't be going.
any famous last words?
Enjoy the friendlies against Turkey, Australia and Portugal.
We'll be going to the Portugal game.
Who are you? Who have Wales got in their friends?
Loads of teams.
Isn't it just Sweden?
Yes, it is.
Just one? Is it only one?
I think we've got a second one, but the time it's against the one.
Someone's playing Slovakia. I don't know who that was. It must be North Ireland is playing.
Maybe you're playing Slovenia.
Anyway, next time, David. More interesting. thanks for joining us. We'll be back on the 10th/11th of June with episode 2 of Kane, Baines and Automobiles.